The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host, and I'm joined by my buddies, Ryan Wilson and John Breach, who rudely are denying my freedoms as an American to watch Champions League soccer on CBS Sports All Access right now by making me podcast after the trade deadline. I want to hold on to this Ajax bet. I need them to hit the money line. I'm feeling pretty good about Bayern, the Bayern over. Bayern.
It's Ajax, if you want to get it right.
Oh, is it Ajax?
It's not Ajax. Like
that. I mean, I mispronounce everything, so let's
dishwashing detergent.
Well, the irony, Brinson, is if there was one year we maybe didn't even need to do a trade deadline podcast, it was this year.
But, by the way, you can watch Champions League, all the Champions League action, on CBS All Access, and it, frankly, is just a great deal. Monthly subscription, our OTT service. Every single Champions League game. What?
As you're doing the OTT read, Debo mentions to us, you can skip the OTT read.
Ryan, there's multiple OTT reads.
Go on.
And he knows that, and I know that. He was communicating to us. He was communicating to me, not to us. Go ahead and yuck it up now. Anyway, it's CBS All Access is our OTT streaming service. The only place, oh my goodness, that's going to be a penalty, possibly, on Ajax. And it's the only place you can watch all the Champions League games, including the, Golazo! Is that right?
Yeah.
It's the Golazo! It's basically like Red Zone for soccer, and it's fantastic. It is insane drama. And I got to tell you, betting on Champions League games is a lot of fun. Betting on soccer is like the best sweat in the world, besides golf.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. I don't bet on it, but just like watching it, if you have a vested interest. And also, I'll say this, and I don't think we say this a lot of times when we watch football games or even any American sports, we bellyache about the announcers. The announcers are so good for soccer and especially CBS All Access announcers. They're great. They all have fantastic accents. They all know what they're talking about. And when you listen to them, you sort of realize that you don't have to say every single thing that happens. But the sort of the phraseology they use is completely different than watching American sports. And
their vocabulary is mind blowing.
They might be smarter than us, is what I'm saying.
You and I were, while we were waiting for the two other people on this podcast, Debo and Breach, to show up 20 minutes late and then complain that we couldn't get started early. We were watching it and you heard, one of the, Bayern guys like fell. He was acting like he took a flop inside the box while he was trying to score. And the guy's like, yeah, it's a yellow card for a simulation. And it's like, it's just like those, like that simple descriptor tells you everything you need to know. And then he doesn't have, it's not like, well, Al, now as you can see, he laid out over his leg and fell forwards, causing him to trip and fall, acting as if it's not necessary. You don't need to break it down like that. And yellow card for simulation. And they just move on. And it is delightful.
Yep.
6-2 Bayern.
Bayern.
Anyway, I'm trying to get into soccer. I like it.
I don't. I have mixed feelings.
And it's soccer's more exciting than the trade deadline was because the trade deadline was terrible. Nothing happened. Who was traded? Nobody was. Isaiah Ford was the only guy who was traded on the day of the trade deadline.
DeAndre Washington.
Isaiah Ford was traded from the Dolphins to the Patriots for a 2022 seventh round pick. And, we saw DeAndre Washington traded at the last minute. So in lieu of breaking down those trades at length, we'll get to them in a minute. My dog is attacking me. Let's talk about the trades that didn't happen. Number one, Will Fuller was not traded by the Houston Texans. Many people thought he would be. And Houston held on to him. Apparently, the Packers, who obviously need help at wide receiver, engaged the Texans about a possible trade, but ultimately could not come to a deal. Who wins and who loses in this situation, Ryan?
Packers lose. I sent out probably my best tweet of the month in regards to this, because Diana Rossini, ESPN, tweeted out this afternoon, I'm told the Green Bay Packers have discussed trading for Texans receiver Will Fuller. However, there's been a disagreement in Green Bay at the highest levels of the organization over whether or not adding an elite receiver in the short term would be worth the spend. And that, to me, makes absolutely zero sense. So we know how the things worked out in the draft. They didn't take a receiver in the draft. I think they signed one as an undrafted free agent and ended up cutting that person. They cut Travis Fulgham in August, who is now, Debo might agree, one of the best players on the Eagles offense. And the Packers' first three-round picks, which is Jordan Love, A.J. Dillon, the running back, and Josh DeGuara, the tight end, that combined for zero pass attempts, 23 rushes for 97 yards, two catches, and zero touchdowns. And I included a handy little graphic of all the wide receivers drafted between picks 32 and 128. And every single one of them except one, Lynn Bowden Jr., who was traded from the Raiders to the Dolphins, would have helped them. And helped them immensely. And now they didn't have that, which would have been a cheaper option than paying Will Fuller. Now they don't have Will Fuller. So now it's Davante Adams, and that's pretty much it. So Breach and I discussed the Packers on the HQ show. We talked about it at 4 o'clock. They, to me, were sort of like the Seahawks in terms of being similar in that their offense runs through the quarterback and their defense stinks. But now, and we can talk about Carlos Dunlap going from Breach's Bengals to the Seahawks. I feel like the Seahawks are much better in much better shape than the Packers are because the Packers are so stubborn about this wide receiver thing.
Absolutely, they're so stubborn about it. But Davante Adams was literally asked about it today, and his quote was, "I wouldn't say there's a need, but I don't think it's any secret that could help us. I wouldn't be opposed to it." End quote. He's a receiver. You know what receivers want? They want the ball. They don't want new receivers on their team. If your star receiver is saying, hey, maybe we should bring somebody else in, maybe that is a sign that the front office needs to get their act together, stop bickering, and just trade for a receiver. And honestly, the Packers, if there is a disagreement in the front office, the Packers really should just be tweeting out a poll since the team is publicly owned and letting the fans decide. So that is the route they should have gone. I was surprised they didn't pull the trigger. And I have to say, how disappointed do you think every team in the NFL is and was that Bill O'Brien got fired? I mean, can you imagine the fire sale the Texans would have had today if Bill O'Brien was still the coach in Houston? Deshaun Watson would have been throwing to himself this week because he would not have had any wide receivers left, probably no offensive linemen. I don't even know who would be on the Texans roster at this point. But I would say if I'm the Packers, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, if I'm Davante Adams, if I'm any part of that offense or even the defense, because, you know, the only way that defense is going to be able to stop anyone is if the offense is on the field and the defense is not, I would be disappointed that they didn't add a receiver.
Yeah, I will say this. The Texans, by all accounts, and look, I think that this is not – the Texans reportedly wanted a second-round pick for Will Fuller.
Done. What's the problem?
No. He's a free agent after this year. You got a lot of free agents you got to pay.
Do you know what the Packers did with their second round pick?
Yes. Number one. Number two, if I said it will only cost you a second round pick to win the Super Bowl.
Well, that's a bit brash. I mean, adding Will Fuller is not winning the Super Bowl. They have no defense. Their defense stinks.
This team is arguably the best team in the NFC. It's them in Seattle. Tampa Bay, too. Yeah. But
Tampa
still.
They beat them 38 to 10.
Well, yeah, but they didn't have a wide receiver. That's my point.
A receiver would have helped.
And guess what? They got Antonio Brown. I'm not saying the Packers should have got Antonio Brown because I don't think he should be in the league until they get all that other stuff sorted out off the field. And, you know, again, I'm not against second chances. He had five or six. But what did it cost the Bucks to get Antonio Brown? A ham sandwich. So there were other options.
Well, again, I think – I was just saying real quick, Wilson, that is the key right there is that – Every other NFC contender got better. The Buccaneers added Antonio Brown. The Saints went out and added Quan Alexander. The Packers are just sitting still and doing nothing. So I think that was part of it that made it perplexing, because you see there were some of the contenders trying to add talent, and Green Bay just like, nah, we're fine. We lost 38-10 a couple weeks ago, but we're fine.
But they didn't lose because they didn't have Will Fuller.
They have one receiver. So what are you willing to give up for Will Fuller?
Not a second round pick. I think this is not about the Packers being unwilling to spend on a receiver, to rent a receiver for eight games. That's, you're talking about a pick that could end up.
It's a pattern of behavior going back to the draft is my point.
Well, I don't, but I'm not lumping together. You can't lump together the draft decision with the trade decision, but I mean, I don't disagree that it would be like, would you guys like AJ Dillon for Will Fuller? Cause we'll do that deal. My issue is that I think the Texans' problem here is Jack Easterby's the guy negotiating this. He wildly overvalued Will Fuller, like what Will Fuller was worth on the market. Take a third for him. I think the Packers might have done that. Because you're probably getting a late third, a compensatory pick for Will Fuller if he walks in free agency, if you don't end up signing
him. Yes.
And that's what you get if you trade with the Packers. Because the Packers are going to be in the playoffs, they're getting a late third. It's a difference of like five spots. So why waste the – why give them away?
Right, but apparently the Packers were only willing to do a fourth maybe. That's got to be the case, right? And the Texans wanted a second. Maybe they were willing to come back to a third. If you're Packers, you should have done a third round pick.
Do you know that they – do you know that the Packers reportedly would only do a fourth, or you're just speculating?
Well, I'm assuming that if the Packers were willing to do a third, the Texans would have done it.
Like you said, Jack Easterby doesn't know anything about football, so who knows?
Right. I mean, again, like the Texans, if I'm a Texans fan, I am absolutely and utterly panicked about the future.
Fair enough, but this deal has nothing to do with that. I'm angrier if I'm a Packers fan that they didn't give up a second round pick for Will Fuller if that's what it took. Because that second round pick is going to be pick 62. Who gives a crap?
I wouldn't give up a second round pick for Will Fuller.
Well, good. We can all watch together as the Packers don't do well in the playoffs because they have one receiver. You double team Devontae Adams. What's plan B?
Are they going to get Alan Lazard back?
Are you kidding me right now?
No, Alan Lazard's good.
Well, they need everyone back because they're going to be throwing it on every single down because they have one healthy running back.
The other one's in COVID and Aaron Jones
is hurt.
That's
a little disingenuous. I mean, like Jamal Williams and AJ Dillon are close contact COVID situations. Like that's
they can't
why,
play, but they can't play.
They're not out for the season. They're just going to miss Thursday and they'll be back.
And you know what? Will Fuller and Matt LaFleur actually have some ties together. So I bet it sounds like if there was some disagreement that Matt LaFleur wanted Will Fuller and the GM basically said, yeah, we're not giving up a second round pick. I feel like LaFleur would have pulled the trigger here if it was up to him.
It
they were
make any
at Notre Dame together.
Doesn't make any sense to me.
It's a little weird.
I would not have traded a second round pick for him.
That's fine, but
if your point is like, well, they could have drafted a receiver in the second round before. Yes, that is true, but this is a veteran who's on the final year of his he's not cost controlled. Like
it's,
you're renting
it's a pattern
it
of behavior.
Second round pick.
I just don't understand what the plan is my point.
The plan is to win football games with Aaron Rodgers
without wide receivers. Okay, I get it. That's the plan.
I mean,
what do you get? Drafted AJ Dillon and Josh.
Devontae Adams has like a 30% target share. Like, how many targets is Will Fuller really getting here?
Well, I think what Will Snyder is saying is, if you're the Packers and you are going all in for the Super Bowl this year, then you give up the second round pick. If you're not going all in, then you don't. It's that simple.
How are you going to win? How are you going to win a Super Bowl with one wide receiver? That's what I don't understand. Why you're dying on that hill?
I mean, do you think that I love Will Fuller? I'm just saying I wouldn't give up a second round pick for an 8-game rental of Will Fuller. I think that would have been
bad. Let me put it this way.
Now we can all agree that the Packers have done a poor job planning out how they want to address the wide receiver two position.
Let me turn it around on you. You don't be the GM. Be Aaron Rodgers. Hey, Aaron, we're thinking about giving him a second round pick for Will Fuller. Would you want to do that?
Probably.
Yeah.
He's like, you're trading me in 2 years anyway. I don't care.
He's like, this is my last year here anyway. I don't care.
I don't know. That's fine. Maybe they win the Super Bowl with one player. If they do.
I understand what you're saying. And I think that they should have pressed hard to get Will Fuller. But I think that the problem was if you're the Texans, you don't give up a fourth round pick. You don't take him for a fourth round pick.
Well, Brent, let me ask you this. Do you think the Packers, as they are currently constructed, can win the Super Bowl?
Here? No, probably not.
Okay. And now let me ask you this. Is there any move they could have made today that would have changed your mind?
Yes. They could have drafted some run defense. They could have acquired some run defense.
Shut up. Get out.
You know what they could have done? They could have traded. You give up. I also think they might have had salary cap issues. Am I thinking about that right? You give up a. Now, here's what would have been fine with me. Tell the Texans you'll give them a third round pick. And if you make it to the Super Bowl, it becomes a second round pick.
Okay, cool.
Because I like that.
I knew I was going to get to the Super Bowl, I would be willing to give up a second round pick for Will Fuller. If like Will Fuller plays 50% of the snaps in the Super Bowl, then you it becomes a second round pick.
Yeah.
Win or lose. You know what I'm saying? Like that would be a different story. And that's a pretty tough condition to tack onto there. But I think if you're the Texans, if you know you're not going to re-sign Will Fuller, you're willing to move up X number of spots in order to get, you're willing to give away to move up X number of spots. Now you also have to worry about alienating your quarterback. You can't take a fourth for him. And if you're Green Bay, I just don't think you give up a second for him. I think it's too much.
Well, if you do the conditional thing that you're mentioning, if the Packers get to the Super Bowl, that means all you gave up to get Will Fuller is either the 63rd or 64th pick in the draft, which is absolutely worth it.
And by the way, think about it this way. We crushed the Patriots for this last year, but Mosa Nu is about 45,000 times worse than Will Fuller, and they gave up a second round pick for him. Will Fuller is worth a second round pick if you're the Packers.
Because the Patriots were all in, but they lost.
Right.
Because Brady only had one receiver to throw to, just like.
Yeah. And guess what? He had a great defense. You're a terrible GM. You're fired, Brinson.
I'm not fired. You're fired because you're Bill O'Brien with no draft picks.
You're Billy O'Brien. Fair enough.
Jake, let's take a break. And when we come back, we will talk about those Patriots.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
All right. So the New England Patriots.
Hey, before you get to the Patriots, let me ask you this question. It's sort of arbitrary, but it's probably the most interesting thing we'll talk about after the Packers, given how the trade deadline went down. Just randomly, if you were asked this question, how would you answer it as John Breacher or Will Brinson? Is Adam Gase part of the solution for the Jets?
Yeah.
He
gets you Trevor Lawrence.
Okay. Cause Joe Douglas said yes. And maybe that he didn't say the Trevor Lawrence part, but maybe that's what he was insinuating.
You think they sat down one day and Douglas is like, "Hey man, what's the plan?" And Gase is like, "Hey, I'm trying to get Trevor Lawrence. You just sit back. Let me lose all these games and we'll be good." And then he's going to get fired when he goes 2-14 with Trevor Lawrence.
All right. Well, that actually segues to the Patriots. You may very well be trying to get to Trevor Lawrence too. What were we going to say about New England?
That New England did not trade Stephon Gilmore or Cam Newton, who I don't think they were going to trade. By the way, did you hear Bill Belichick on WEEI? We should have grabbed this audio, but I forgot to mention it to Debo. Talking about, somebody asked him about how he's making excuses with the salary cap.
What did he say to that?
His reply was, for sound like he was about to go off. And he's like, "I mean, I don't know what to tell you." He's like, we didn't have any cap space. Like, we could only pay Cam Newton $1 million. We paid Cam $1 million because we had no cap space. And that was before everybody opted out, obviously. And he's like, I don't know what you want me to say. We went all in for the last 5 years and we won 3 Super Bowls and we played in another one. And then we were in the AFC Championship game in the 5th year. I mean, what do you want me to say? It's a pretty good answer.
So
I understand why people are like bringing it up. It's because the standard is so absurd for the New England Patriots that when they have one off year, people are like, people in Boston are apt, they're like, "Belichick lost his fastball."
But they still have, according to Spotchuck, they still have $26 million in cap space right now.
They've already opted out.
Yeah, but you still have $26 million available.
No, Belichick was actually asked about the planning for next year. He was asked about that today. And he basically said, "Yeah, that's a great question. And we are saving this cap space and we're going to be able to rebuild this entire roster going into 2021. This is, you know, like we don't have a quarter or, you know, we let Brady go. We didn't go out and sign any high price free agents. We had a bunch of guys opt out. This is just a wild card year. If we play well, awesome. If we don't, whatever, I'm planning for next year." So
yeah, so they have 26 million right now for each and they'll have 70 million as we sit here for 2021.
I do think, and I think there's something fair to that that notion where
every team
like,
we
like if you're the Patriots and you know that Tom Brady, you're letting Tom Brady walk and that you've decided to move on from the Brady era, you didn't need to go out and just like waste, like you didn't need to go all in on 2020. We don't know that the season will finish, you know, still like we have no idea. They're doing a contingency plan for 8 teams in the playoffs in case teams miss games. So that should tell you everything you need to know about the future. And so I think Bill Belichick, and I don't want to try to like, you know, make excuses for him or give him too much credit, but I do think he was sitting there in February and March, or I guess in March and April and May, and thinking like, all right, you know, like, I mean, we don't know that we're going to have a football season that starts on time. This is not the year to go all in. You know, and that's a fair approach to it.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I mean, I'm not going to hate on him for it. It's just weird to see them truly terrible.
He's been like 5 moves ahead of everyone else for the past 20 years. There's no doubt in my mind that he is still 5 moves ahead of everyone else. Like he has no problem with the fact that this team is 2-6.
I mean, I don't think he likes it.
Yeah, I don't think he likes it, but I don't think he's 2-5. I don't think he's worried about it.
They could also have easily beaten the Seahawks and the Bills. And at that point, they would be, 4-3? Or 4-4? Yeah.
4-3.
Four and four.
They're 2-5.
Yeah. So they'd be, 4-3 and it near the top of the division. So now the Stephon Gilmore thing is a little different because he hasn't played very well. He's unhappy with his contract situation. Do you think this is a case of Belichick just not being able to find the requisite value out there in the middle of the season?
Well, the requisite value was reportedly a first round pick and another player. Who's giving him a first round pick for Steph Gilmore? Like, what team desperately needs a cornerback to be the difference maker in their Super Bowl run?
The Packers.
Titans.
Just kidding. I don't think you can give up a first. And again, like, it's been reported, and this is just true. Like, this is just sort of general knowledge across the NFL, but with a lower, and we talked about this on HQ, the lower salary cap, draft picks, because of their, you know, cost controlled nature, are going to be more valuable in 2021. Like, people don't know what the salary cap is going to be. You can't spend your way out of a positional problem but you can draft something. Like, you can, I guarantee you that if the salary cap shrinks, we're going to see a bunch of need based drafting in the first round. So I don't think you can trade a first round pick for Stephon Gilmore, given his contract, given that he's going to want some more money, given that his play has dipped significantly. And given that, you know, I mean, you're buying high on somebody that you're buying high from Bill Belichick, which generally doesn't work out well for people.
Yeah. I mean, but also, you know, there's that report that he was looking for a new contract possibly, because giving up a first round pick wouldn't have been horrible if you think you can win a Super Bowl. And also, you have him under contract next season for a base salary of just $7 million, which is incredibly low sum for a shutdown star corner. And so for that, if I knew that's what I'm getting, then I'm willing to make the trade if I think I'm a contender. But, you know, if you go in the offseason and Gilmore is saying, yeah, I'm going to hold out and you're going to have to pay me more money, and then now you're standing at the $175 million salary cap, knowing that you have to get a contract done with Gilmore. And if you don't get a contract done, then you just threw away a first round pick. Then it becomes an issue. So there was definitely some diciness there. But if you're the Patriots, there was no downside here. You put out the feelers. You let it know what your asking price is. If somebody pays it, then boom, you're in business. And if someone doesn't, you keep the 2019 defensive player of the year on your roster for a few more games and then figure it out in the offseason.
It's great. I would not have given up a second round pick for Will Fuller, and I would not give up a first round pick for Stephon Gilmore. I think that both of those asking prices in this season are too much, especially and with Will Fuller, by the way, if you trade for him today, it's not even an 8 game rental. Have the Packers had their bye?
I don't know. But the point is, if they're going to make a deep playoff run and get to the Super Bowl, it's worth it.
I understand that, but you wouldn't even get
Packers have had their bye.
Packers have had their bye. So you would get him for 7 games because you wouldn't get him this week because of COVID protocols, but. Well, yeah. All right, let's talk about some of the trades that actually happened. Who won the trades? Patriots get Isaiah Ford from the Dolphins do you have something else, Ryan?
That's a stupid one. No one cares about that. What do you want to say about Isaiah Ford?
My winner is Cam Newton because he has someone else to throw to.
Does he, though? What's your favorite Isaiah Ford NFL moment, Breach?
The one where he caught the pass in that one game.
The one where he got traded to the Patriots. That's my favorite moment.
I mean, it's for a 2022 seventh round pick. I guess were the Dolphins cutting him? Like, well, it's sort of weird. He's a decent little player.
Is he? What do you like about him?
I mean, he's quick, shifty. You know, can use him as a slot guy. I think he's a great pickup for the Patriots.
Seven catches for 76 yards.
I'd be petrified about trading a short, shifty slot wide receiver to the Patriots. The last thing he did, it turned into Wes Welker.
He's 6'2". What are you talking about?
He's tall. I mean, he's not like Megatron.
Wes Welker's 4'2". He's 2 feet taller than Wes Welker.
Wes Welker is actually my size, like 5'8".
You're 5'2".
Cue it up. That was an election day dunking.
Am I thinking of somebody? Or maybe, am I thinking of Jeremiah Grant instead of Isaiah Ford?
You're thinking of Jakeem Grant, yeah. My favorite draft day. What are we on here? The trade deadline trade was, I talked about an HQ.
Maybe I am thinking of Jakeem Grant or Jeremiah Grant.
Yeah, I think you are.
That's a terrible trade.
Yeah, I was like, why do you care about this? Reaches Carlos Dunlap goes from the Bengals to the Seahawks. And as I said on HQ, I think it's exactly what the Seahawks need in terms of an edge rusher. They're getting Jamal Adams back as Brinson finally realizes who Isaiah Ford really is. You can see the look on his face. And Dunlap got out of a situation breach in Cincinnati where he clearly did not want to be.
Yeah, I mean, if you're trying to sell your house on Twitter after a game, you are clearly disgruntled. And, Ryan, I do agree with you that. And you know what? The Seahawks, Dunlap hasn't been great this season in Cincinnati, but he has been good in past seasons. And if you're the Seahawks, you can't really downgrade at any position at this point because your defense is so bad. So I do agree with you. That was a good one. My winner was the Chargers or the Titans trading with the Chargers to land Desmond King. Look, you know, if you watch the Titans play on Sunday, that upset happened because Titans have no pass rush and their secondary has been struggling all year. You got to do something in one of those spots. And they did something in the secondary by adding Desmond King. They've been dealing with injuries. Dory Jackson's been injured. Christian Fulton's been injured. And so I think that Desmond King's going to go in there. He's going to be an instant help. And they only gave up a sixth round draft pick. I feel like the compensation there, was really good for Tennessee. Cause back to the Dunlap deal real quick, at least the Bengals got an offensive lineman. Dunlap wasn't playing, but their offensive line is horrible. They need all the depth they could get there. And so getting DJ Finney in the deal, you actually feel good about it if you're the Bengals. I don't know how the Chargers feel good giving up Desmond King for a sixth round pick.
I'm with you. And if the conversation is Desmond King for a sixth round pick or Steph Gilmore for a first round pick, another player, I mean, I'm hanging on the phone every time for Steph. I'm not doing that.
You're taking Desmond King, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this and the Quan Alexander trade were sort of let's dump some cash. Not that he had a whole lot of cash left on his rookie contract.
I think Quan has a little bit left.
Quan was a cash dump from a team that sort of realized it was – like I think the Chargers kind of realized, all right, like we're not going to extend this guy. Let's get something for him. Although you would think you get maybe a better compensatory pick if he walked I don't know. Weird.
I don't know.
Well, and we talked about people not making trades because of the potential salary cap for next year. The Saints don't give a crap. That's a team who's all in. The Packers won't get a receiver. You know what the Saints did? They had a Quan Alexander who has a 4-year, $54 million contract. He's only in the second season of that. And when you add in his money, that puts the Saints' projected salary cap for 2021. They are now projected to be $100 million over the cap. I don't even know how you fix it. I don't even know where you begin. I don't know who you can cut. I don't know what you can do to slice $100 million off to get down to where you need to be. But again, the Saints are a team. They are all in. They don't care about next year's salary cap. They said, you know what? We'll add that 4-year, $54 million deal and we'll figure it out in the offseason after we win the Super Bowl.
Okay. Fair enough. Are you surprised the Bengals didn't trade more players, Breach?
I think that, you know, you talk about AJ Green or John Ross. I think as well as they've been playing, I feel like Zach Taylor just wants to put the guys that Joe Burrow has been throwing to in practice in games, keep him comfortable and just roll with those guys and let them leave in the offseason. So, just because they've been playing so well the last few weeks, surprised.
Just to be clear, AJ Green and John Ross are playing well or the Bengals are playing well?
AJ Green's been playing well, pretty well the last couple weeks. John Ross has not because he's been active a couple times all over the place. But I think it's a matter of, you know, if there's eight playoff spots, all of a sudden the Bengals have a little bit of hope. And if somebody gets injured, like AJ Green, who is injury prone, you have John Ross to kind of step in there. And the last couple weeks, Ryan, against the Colts, AJ Green, 8 catches, 96 yards. A week later, 7 catches, 82 yards against the Browns. So he's been pretty solid the last 3 weeks. He's kind of getting a connection going with Burrow. So yeah, it made sense.
He does not look like the same player. Will you agree with that?
I would agree with that.
So, Brinson, if you're the Green Bay ownership, all 50,000 of you, are you trading a third-round pick for AJ Green?
No. Hell no.
Would you do that trade as the Bengals preach?
If you're the Packers, because his contract expires after this year, you don't have to
pay him
anything.
If you're the Bengals.
Yes.
Yeah, of course you do.
Yes. The Bengals would take that in a heartbeat. They're not getting a third-round compensatory pick for AJ Green.
They shouldn't.
Breach probably thinks they are. They'll get a first for Andy Dalton.
the first ever first-round compensatory pick. Andy Dalton.
I actually don't think the Packers could have acquired AJ Green. I don't think they have the salary. They have $6.791 million in salary cap space, and AJ Green would take up more than that, I think.
Yeah, it would have been like nine.
So what you're saying is less than 1% of the salary cap is devoted to wide receivers in Green Bay.
And all that is Devontae Adams.
Yes, that's right. Okay. All right. Well, anything else that we got to get to?
Avery Williamson's going to the Steelers. We mentioned on the last podcast. Boom.
He's the biggest winner though, right?
100%.
Yeah, definitely. You go from the Jets to the Steelers. That's just chalking you up in the win column and going to bed.
At least Carlos Dunlap was, as we talk about, the Bengals are a good football team. Given their circumstances, they should have more wins. The Jets should have fewer wins.
Debo, can you cut Wilson saying the Bengals are a good football team? Just that. So I can tweet it out. Thank you.
I got you.
He is so done with us.
I just want Breach to go out there and perform his civic duty.
Yeah, let's get out of here so Breach can go.
That's right, Breach is
Breach, go. There you go.
Wilson's got the shirt on. I'm going to record everything.
Everybody, may Election Day be as buzzworthy as the trade deadline.
Okay.
Nice calm. Normal civic duty business. Go vote, Breach.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.